Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Hello, welcome to the podcast, a podcast for skint millennials. I'm Robin Vinter, founder and editor of The Overtake.
I am Grace Holliday, a freelance journalist and content writer.
I'm Rick Worth, a writer and journalist. And I thought Robin was going to pick up that line there. This week's theme, guys?
This week we are talking about education.
Ooh,
yeah,
meaty.
Which is, yeah, a very meaty topic. First, we should probably mention that we were supposed to have an episode last week and we didn't. And it was because we had a guest host.
Come on. It was 50% Rick's fault, 50% Grace's fault. Just say
yeah.
It.
So, well, Grace was on holiday, so we'd like established that was happening.
Some of us had the flu. Some of us were jet setting in India.
I should say, though, because people are going to be like, how is she on holiday if she's a povo?
Yeah.
The first trip to India was a press trip.
Yes.
And the second trip was £300 each.
Yeah. You did talk about that in depth.
Yeah, I did. Episode. So please don't judge me as a fake povo because I'm not fake.
No. We had lined up a guest host, but he was too much of a celebrity to be able to come along. He got sick and then he had to do some telly.
He got his wang out and then he got sick.
He did.
Yeah. The two events were not related.
No.
Or were they?
Were they? I don't know. So yeah, so he had some TV in the afternoon that he had to do. So he sacked us off basically.
Yeah. I mean, Look North over the podcast any day, let's be honest. I have a lot of time for Look North.
Michael Burke got a lot of time for. Is it still Michael Burke? Or maybe I'm not.
Isn't it Harry Gracian?
Yeah, Harry Gracian's the main.
Harry Gracian's my god.
No, wait, which one's which? Because there's the BBC one and then there's the ITV one.
What's
the ITV
one?
What's the ITV one?
Good lord.
Calendar.
Oh, no.
I mean, even its name is shit.
yeah,
speaking of true. Shit things, should we do our punch up?
Oh, yeah.
So, fucking segue.
Yeah, Grace has the punch up. What's made you annoyed this week?
It's the same curriculum that you teach now that's at least 16 years old when we were all at school.
Yeah, so how old am I now? So 12 years ago, I did Of Mice and Men and An Inspector Calls, and 12 years later, they're still doing those two.
There are people who weren't even alive when we were at school learning these books still.
What?
What are they, like 13?
I've got 13 to 16-year-olds.
Yeah, so how long ago was it when you were at school?
When I was...
Yeah, she's doing the maths.
She didn't do maths. So I'm almost 30. So 17. So
yeah,
there could be
so
a 17-year-old now.
Yeah.
And it was going a few years before we were.
Years.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
Oh, do you know what? I know for a fact that my brother did Of Mice and Men because I took his copy to school with me, and my brother is 38.
Oh wow!
So
I mean, it's a good. I don't have any problem with people doing these same books over and over again because they're good books.
Yeah.
But it's
we need
just,
others as well.
Yeah, and the few things that I think have been changed recently with the curriculum have been things like the kids now have got to learn a poem like off the top of their heads, and it's like some kids.
To learn a poem off the top. That's not weird. Is it?
You had to be able to recite a poem.
Yeah, we had to voluntarily go and find a poem. Maybe, like, so there's a difference between, I think, just having to learn, say, read five novels because they're on the curriculum, and reading five novels to either understand the historical importance or developing a love of reading.
I don't think it was on... Well, it definitely wasn't on the curriculum at the time that you had to know a poem off to be ahead.
Maybe we just had an English teacher who was like, this and you'll all do it in class.
Yeah.
I cheated and learned On the Ning Nang Nong by Spike Milligan, which is just a nonsense
that's
poem.
Really
I do think there's some things that we're taught in school are really important. Like, people are like, oh, who needs handwriting lessons? No, let's do handwriting lessons because everybody needs to know how to write properly.
But typing should also be on the curriculum. So should that, now. Like, everyone... can type correct, because that's the thing, a skill that you've got to teach yourself, unless you go to, like, unless you do some kind of like office management course, you've got to teach yourself typing. And actually, it's really hard. I taught myself typing a little bit, so I can actually type, like, touch type with my left hand, but not with my right hand. So it's really weird, and it doesn't really work.
I think that every school should put aside one, what do you call it, like a block of the day.
Lesson. Yes. Period.
Period. Yeah. That was what's it called, isn't it? One period a week. On life lessons.
Yeah, like opening a bank account and stuff
opening
like that.
Opening a bank account. Yeah. What, do you know what? When I was, this is really embarrassing, but I refuse to be embarrassed by it. I was 22 and I called my mum and went, Mum, I need you to explain to me what a mortgage is because I still don't understand. Mm. And I was like, I can't ask anybody else because I'm 22. I have a degree. I should definitely know this by now. But I don't understand what they are and I don't understand how they work and I don't understand how you get one.
Yeah.
And I was like pretty well educated by that point. Yeah. I'd been through GCSEs, A-level and university and I didn't know what... I knew what a mortgage was, but you shouldn't... Like, we should be teaching kids those basic things because you need to know that more than, like, how to make a woodlouse grow. Which I also
was
learned.
That a thing you learned?
Yeah, we did like a semester on the woodlouse.
That's a weird school. Yeah. Although, I mean, having said that, not one, like we're not going to be able to get a mortgage now. So maybe, maybe that would be relevant. A waste of time.
Yeah, there was a lot of woodlouse in Turkey, so I guess, you know,
it all worked out.
Maybe they got it right after all.
Yeah. What was your school like?
Fucking awful.
Yeah. Was it a low? What's the word? Like low ranking.
No, school. So it was one of the better schools in Doncaster, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah. It was still an awful school. Mm. But it was one of the better ones, which is why my parents wouldn't move me to another one because there wasn't much. I would have had a better social life, but there wasn't much improvement in kind of education or teaching. Yeah. I should say I did have some fantastic teachers, but it was a ratio of like 5 to 100.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine was like slightly below average. I think it's got better actually since I was there, but it was slightly below average at the time. It was. Probably, by the time I left, probably the worst school in the immediate area.
Was that you that did that?
Yeah, I ensured that it was the worst school. Worst school in the immediate area, but you wouldn't have had to go too far to find a worse school. So it certainly wasn't a bad school, it just wasn't a good school.
I mean, Doncaster is not a thriving hub of excellent educational establishments, is it? And neither is...
No. Where I grew up. Guiseley, which was like a northern... part of Leeds, but it's like a bit further out, so it's a bit more, it's not countrysidey, but it's like very suburban.
What about you, Rick?
Our tier system was split into letters, so there's S band, T band and H band, which goes first, second, third. Then each of those was tiered into three, so the top set was SC. And then the second to top set was called SS.
Oh my god.
All the letters did stand for something, but I was like, we had a 1/9 of the children in our school were part of SS. That's so weird.
I think the biggest problem at my school was the mental health of the kids. Like, everybody, because I think back and I think my behaviour was my problem. So, like, it was a bit confusing for teachers because on one hand I was in gifted and talented. In some lessons I was an absolute angel. Like, you would have thought I was, like, the biggest nerd in the class. But then if there were other lessons where I felt the teacher like was disrespectful, I would cause trouble, like deliberately cause trouble.
I used to be like, disrespected me.
Yeah, it was a bit like that.
I come into your classroom and you're disrespecting me.
I think I was quite mature, weirdly quite mature as a child, that I could tell teachers that like didn't have any respect for the kids, but I wasn't mature enough to deal with that properly, or maybe there was just no way of dealing with that properly. So often I'd be in detention and one of the teachers from like my good lessons would be like, what are you doing here? And I'd be like, you've got no idea, buddy.
I feel like I had a similar thing. I had to see Right, this is only half a story because I don't really remember why I had to do this. But I had to go and see a counsellor for like a full year. And they were like, oh yeah, it's really unusual because you get all right grades. We just need you to see this person. And I was like, oh, okay. And there was definitely a reason why. And I remember mentioning it to my mum a couple of years back. And she was like, oh yeah, well, you know, that was difficult. And I have either suppressed my actions or suppressed the actions of somebody else. Or they just confused. I did get confused for another kid and had to do his event in sports day one year. So I was like, maybe that kid's walking around like murdering people.
Damaged, yeah.
Yeah. I was so like, maybe I was a fucking horror and just suppressed it.
They just called you like John the entire session.
Yeah, it was like Nick Worth that was supposed to be you. Yeah.
But I remember like feeling the same thing. I was like, I decided I hate this teacher and I'm better than them.
Yeah. And it was like, I think really like when people talk about mental health and stuff, and I, as an adult, free to make choices, I don't think I've had trouble with mental health. Like if I've been miserable, mm-hmm. I've made changes and I've made things better. And it's not to say that I haven't had bad times, but just that I don't think I've had like clinical depression. But I think either I was just so miserable the entire time I was at school, or I had depression that nobody like could treat or knew.
Do you think also that it could be that they presume that it was teenage angst?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Which is very hard to distinguish. I think
there were so many kids, when you look back at the behaviour of a lot of children, there are so many kids who've quite clearly got mental health problems that either, you know, the teachers know that there aren't any resources for, so they don't deal with, or they assume the parents know about and are dealing with.
Or they're scared of dealing with it. Yeah. The minute that you take on somebody else's mental health problems, that's your burden for the rest of the time at the school.
Exactly.
Teachers have like, I feel really bad for teachers because they've got a lot to do because they provide pastoral care as much as they can.
Mm.
And they just asked way too much.
I don't
way
think it's
too
up to teachers to do that kind of stuff.
No. Were you a gegger? Or that might be a too colloquial. Yeah, or like good. A mosher?
Oh, I was somewhere in the middle. No, like we had moshers and different. Townies.
We had townies.
I was probably on the mosher end, but I wasn't a proper mosher. Yeah. But so, I don't know, sometimes I...
She sits sat there with her black eyeliner and black yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're a bit geggerish
I'm more,
now.
I'm more of a gegger now than I was.
I mean, what on earth is a gegger?
A mosher.
A gegger.
We didn't have
Can
a
we
geg-
talk about the etymology of that word, please?
Yeah, we didn't
right.
have that word.
So, I don't really know where it comes from, but...
Gigger?
No, gegger.
Like a person that goes to gigs?
Maybe, no. But get like no, your gegs are like your spectacles around in Merseyside. But those people don't necessarily wear more glasses. If anyone knows where the word gegger come from,
And say, I mean, mosher makes a bit more sense. But from what I can recall, people didn't like being called moshers.
Well, the thing about a gegger is it was always prefixed with the word sweaty.
Yeah, exactly.
Was
like,
sweaty gegger.
Yeah, sweaty gegger. Yeah. Like, oh,
God, I've never heard those words in my life.
You never heard the word sweaty before?
No. Sweaty gegger.
Did anyone from either of your schools ever like achieve anything, like become successful, or you know, like do
you talking about secondary school, so up to 16?
Because that's the thing that like a lot of really good private schools have, where they are like, these are the alumni and look at all the amazing things they've achieved, and it really like inspires kids to be able to like achieve whatever.
We didn't have like any historical ones. We had a few kids that had played for our local rugby team, which is St. Helens. St. Helens Rugby League, which is quite a big
in the
rugby
north.
Team.
Yeah. it's a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite big, but in like a kind of sheltered way.
Yeah.
I remember a few kids from our year had even played like on the actual team, and then one got kicked off for doing drugs, which is fine because I was a knob anywhere. But that was kind of, if you could be good at rugby and then go and have trials at Saints, you were probably considered a success, even though sports is such a fleeting success because it takes one injury.
Yeah.
And then you fuck. Like, no one.
Or just, you're just not quite good enough to make the team and, to get on the roster.
And that's it.
Yeah,
definitely. We didn't have any famous famous or successful kids come out of my secondary school.
No, we didn't.
Although Louis Tomlinson did go to my sixth form, so I guess.
Oh yeah, he did.
That kind of counts.
I've since learned, like a decade after I went to the school.
I should say though, he is the shittest of all of the ex One Direction members. I can't that pass without saying that. Mm. I mean, nobody really fancies Louis, do they?
I think a lot of them do.
Really?
I think so.
The Donny one.
I don't even know. No. Well, no,
is
that
there any point
help,
in explaining?
Sorry.
Yeah. Is there any
so
point
I know
explaining
who
Zayn
is, and okay, I know who Harry Styles is.
See, this is exactly what I'm saying.
Niall's that blonde one.
He's the Irish one.
And then Liam's the one with Cheryl Cole.
Yes.
And then there's the other one, the shit one that you're forgetting. That's Louis.
That's Louis. Yeah.
Poor Louis.
That's my exact point. Yeah. Can't remember. Everyone's like, right, I know Zane, I know Harry, and then there's those two other ones, and then there's another one, is there?
But there's only like three famous people from St. Helens anyway, so we had.
That's true. Yeah, no, there's not. There was like the school next to us, the better school. Mm-hmm. Lots of successful people went there. Mm-hmm. But like, I since learned that afterwards, so my school did have one very good successful person who was, he used to be a chief economist at the Bank of England. I don't know whether he still is, but when I looked it up at the time, and I was like, why the fuck did they not tell us that? You know, like, imagine growing up as a kid thinking someone who went to this school is now chief economist at the Bank of England. Yeah. Like, they just, I don't know, maybe they didn't know, or like, but it's like,
I think
it's just like such a lack of like it. They make you afraid to not succeed, but they don't give you any like inspiration to succeed.
I could be wrong. Maybe there's some really successful.
There might be, yeah, but you wouldn't know. And that's it. Doesn't matter, does it? Yeah.
If you're from Ridgewood, Doncaster, and have become really successful, please let me know. I'd love to have a chat.
Yeah. Tan France.
Yeah.
He's from Donny's.
Oh, yeah.
Not my school. Yeah. I checked. Yeah. I Googled him.
I did.
Yeah. I love him. Tan, I love you. Come home. We miss you.
Yeah, I can message him and tell him.
Yeah, please.
I did interview him that time.
I think when I have kids, I'm going to be a parent that people would probably hate, because I quite like the idea that all Americans are lied to and told that they can be president, even though they obviously cannot be.
Yeah, that's good for you, though.
But I think it is good. I mean, believing it as a nation is probably a fucking terrible idea. Yeah. But keeping it as
that's how we got Donald Trump.
Yeah, and saying to a kid, look, you're allowed to try and do whatever you want, and there's no harm in failing.
Yeah,
it's probably good because don't
you think at school you were ridiculed for having any kind of like
slight ambition? Yeah, but that's children though. I don't think that's teachers. I feel children like don't
I think
leave
it was a
pack.
Bit of both. I think it was like kids would ridicule you and adults would dismiss you. So I remember a few times, like, all different things that I wanted to do when I was kids. And, like, did you ever have that thing where, because I remember briefly I wanted to do performing arts. And I remember having, like, in year 10 or whatever, you have a meeting with the, like, school careers advisor person. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, the whole thing about performing arts, she was saying, what's your backup plan? And let's chat through a backup plan for you. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do that as a backup plan. And I was like, really, what you should be doing is helping me, like, say, you know, deciding what you need to go to for performing arts. Yeah. I wouldn't have been good at that, and I'm glad I didn't in the end.
I feel like it's so, because they want to say to you, like, would you just not feel better just working as an accountant at KPMG? And you go,
exactly.
What you mean is, would I not feel better being a drone? No offence to those people, but would you not feel better just sacrificing your dreams?
Yeah, exactly. And I know not everybody, like, you know, you can be incredibly ambitious and even do everything right and not end up being successful. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you don't want to live your life, or maybe it's my personality, but I wouldn't want to live my life thinking that I haven't done the things that I wanted to do just from like not being too afraid or not knowing how.
Yeah, and as a working class girl from Doncaster, everything would have pointed to me never being able to make a success of myself as a self-employed freelance journalist by the time I was 25.
Yeah.
Everything. I would have been talked out of that by anybody that I ever suggested that to. Not that I did at the time. I used to want to be an author. Mm. And I still do, but that's
you
kind
can
of
still
like
do that.
10 years out of time. Yeah. But if they'd have said to me, oh, that you know, you can't do that, maybe I would have listened. Maybe the same with my grades. Maybe I would have listened. Maybe I would have ended up being unhappy working a job that I hated. And that's what really concerns me, is that this country is full of people who've been told no so many times that when they were a kid, they've ended up becoming a nobody in quotation marks, or somebody, and when I say nobody, I mean that they feel like they've become a nobody.
They wanted to
be a saxophonist or a doctor or an astronaut, and they've ended up working in a hairdresser's in Kent.
And they feel like it's too late as well. Like, I think there's a lot of people, especially who are our age, and that's sort of what this entire podcast is about, I guess. But like, you can, by the time you've got to 30, you think, oh, I did want to do this, I did want to do that. But
I think 25.
Yeah,
I think you hit 25.
I honestly left
it.
Uni and didn't get a journalism job straight away, and I was literally like, "This is my life." I've really spent like
the alternative is also, well, I want to say the opposite is also true, because it completely just ruins everything we've just been saying. But I remember in year 11, we had like a bunch of different English teachers, And this new English teacher come in, and he was like the head of the department, and he was young and he was cool. And, you know, he started doing like media lessons on media where he's like, oh, you know, here's why you should watch Tarantino films. Mm. It was like 15 years ago, so Tarantino was still like, wow, ooh, look at these films.
But he wants... still love Tarantino. Hang on.
You got to get up to date with your media students. Right. Yeah. Anyway, so he was like asking people what they wanted to be. And I think at the time I just started to get interest in politics. So I said something in politics. I can't remember what it exactly was. And he said, no. And he was just, I think he was just doing a joke. He's like, no, you'll be a tax man. And he was just kind of like, ha ha ha. And it kind of carried on. But ever since then, and I've had opportunities to work in tax overseas, I've been like, no fucking never. Because it'll prove him right. And I much preferred the other English teacher, who was older and stuffier and was a sci-fi nerd.
Yes.
But was like, would recommend books that weren't on the curriculum. Bringing it back round to the curriculum.
Yeah.
He was like, you should read this book because they won't let me teach you it in school because there's things in it that they don't think 15-year-olds should be reading.
There is a book right behind you there called The Wind Singer, and that was a book that my English teacher gave me as an addition to the curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I still have it, and it's still one of my favourite books that I read when I was a kid.
So how did your perception change when you went to uni?
Rick, how did your perception change when you went to uni?
That's a good question. And shall I'm not going to repeat it for a third time.
I can talk about how my perception changed when I went to uni.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, so I grew up, I was entitled to free school meals at school. Mm-hmm. And I grew up like being probably one of the more well, or feeling like one of the more well-off families on our estate. But I knew there were nicer areas of the town that we lived in. And I thought of myself as verging on middle class when I was when I was at school and in sixth form. And then when I went to uni, I rapidly realised that I was not verging on middle class at all. Like, someone on free school meals is not verging on middle class.
And also that there's kind of a difference between northern middle class and southern middle class, I discovered.
Yeah, I could not believe the amount of money that some of those kids had. Or like the fact that they had some money somehow from
swimming
somewhere.
Swimming pools. I met people with outdoor swimming pools.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think I met anyone that... You went to a better uni, though, than me. I don't think I met anyone that
I lived with a guy whose family bought a house with a swimming pool when we were in final year. Which was kind of a treat for us both.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, your family must be loaded. And he was like, oh, he's like... He remembered coming from like a small house and then managing to get to a big house.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
But I was just shocked that people owned cars. Like...
Yeah,
like people who were like 18
had their own car, not just like shitty bangers.
Like a car you might buy from not a con man,
from
like a real car.
And you're
not
like,
a con man, like, named a great garage.
And you're like, oh, how did you pay for your driving lessons when you were at school? And they're like, oh yeah, my parents just did it. Yeah. I'm like, oh. Okay. Well,
oh my god, I paid for every single one of my driving lessons over the course of like 4 years. It bankrupted me. I basically worked to pay for driving lessons.
Yeah. I did that while I was at uni, and that was a mistake. I still haven't passed.
People ask me quite often, like, oh, have you got to 13 and you've not got a driver's license? I was like, do you know how expensive it is to learn how to drive?
Yeah, especially when you know you can't afford a car.
Realistically, driving should be added to the curriculum. Everyone should be taught to drive at school.
Yeah.
Like, well, they are in America.
And
then you would just, and then the workforce would all be mobile, and
would
not be class.
Yeah, stratus. But then would there be more pollution and more cars on the road? And
probably.
It's maybe. A tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, poor people shouldn't move around. Only the rich should be allowed to pollute. Yeah.
I read an article quite recently about the they're talking about making university degrees only 2 years instead of three. And I know that some people are like, that's a great idea because it'll cost way less money. I think it's an awful idea because the entire premise of the first year of university is to bring everybody up to speed so that everybody is at level one to go into the final 2 years. I think if we scrap the first year of uni and go down to two, it's just going to be a nightmare.
I mean,
and it's going to put working class kids like ourselves at a disadvantage because we'll go and do French and we'll have to go straight into being at the level that everybody else
is. Yeah, and I didn't go to, like, the kind of uni where, like, if you're a poor kid, if you go to somewhere like Oxford or Cambridge, it probably does take you quite a while to acclimatise because you're not even used to being in that kind of environment.
Oh my God,
like, a historic institution where, like, all the buildings are, like, listed and all that kind of stuff.
I had a friend who went to Oxford or Cambridge, I can't remember which one he went to, but he really struggled through to Christmas. Like, he just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah. When I first came to university, I was coming to actually study Japanese, which isn't what I study in the end.
Really?
Yeah, and I studied it and I dropped out because everyone could already speak Japanese.
Because
and,
everybody was
yeah,
Japanese.
And so, yeah, like some people who like lived in Japan for a year. So basically what they were teaching, and they were like, first semester, you have to basically have like what you would have at GCSE Italian level okay. of, you know, that level of fluency.
But in Japanese, not in
Italian. But Japanese, of course, yeah. which involves...
weirdest stipulation ever.
Japanese got off Italian language, I did not know that.
But then that involves learning two additional alphabets so you can read Japanese. But then on top of it, like, oh, also, you're also doing a full humanities degree at the same time because you have to do cultural studies. I just hated everyone in my course, so I dropped out.
How long did you last?
It's basically, I got about halfway through the semester before I was like, I want to change. And I must have missed the deadline. Just because they're like, you have to come back next year. But what they made me pay off the education I'd had for those couple of months, which was an alarmingly high amount of money to give to a 19-year-old and say, you've got to pay us like $2,000.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't let me come back without paying it off. So I had to pay it off before the next year started.
Oh my God. Where did you get that kind of money from? You just worked?
I worked 7 days a week for 8 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
I worked in a paper mill for 5 days a week and then 2 days a week in a bar.
And that, kids, is why you should go and check out the university.
I don't think you would have known that about Japanese.
No, I don't think I would have known about the course. Yeah. And the reason I came to Leeds is because it was one of like 9 universities that offered it as like a proper full course. And Leeds at the time had like a really good music scene. So I was like, oh, best of both worlds. And like day one, they're like, you will never get to go outside. Don't say hello to the people you live with. They are pointless. Just study
Japanese. Talking of working, how many hours a week was it?
Right, 7 days a week. I couldn't remember the hours, but it was too many. I need to sign that form to say I'm not breaking the law by working this many hours.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
Did we all work through university?
Yes. So I took a year out before I went to uni because I wanted to do like performing arts stuff and then I decided that I didn't want to do it. And then I applied for journalism after. And
is
I
that what your degree was in?
Journalism, yeah. So I worked in a call centre for a year before I went to uni.
God.
Yeah, it was not good. It was actually, you know what? Probably for a call centre it was fine, but it was an inbound call centre. So they ring you, which is better than an outbound call centre. And we did have to do some outbound calls, but most of it was inbound. And it was, I don't know, like, you know what? For a job, it was actually fine. But it's just a lot of it was sales, and I'm just shit at sales. Like, I'm not into forcing people to buy stuff for my personal gain.
For 10%.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just not, that's just not
if it's 100%, that's really great, but...
Yeah, exactly. And like, even now at The Overtake, like, I only work with companies that I think fit with our ethos, and like, we don't take money from people who we don't think fit with us, which is why we've got no money. So when I started uni, I still worked in the call center, but I hated it, and it wasn't bad money, but I just wanted to get out. And then I got a job in a cinema,
that's a nicer job. People that I know that worked in cinemas seem to quite enjoy it.
It probably by the end, after like 2 years, it was two and a half years, it was the worst job. It felt like the worst job I'd ever had. But it was, with all those kind of jobs, it was the managers, there's a couple of good managers, but some of them were awful.
Like, I swear you could work in like a mine, but if you were working with good people, it would still be better than working in a coffee shop with like the most horrendous.
Maybe not a mine, but maybe
we'll just cut
we're
that
not
going to
be a miner. But you're totally right. And like the actual cinema job was fine. Like it was so basic that after a while you could just do it in your sleep. And actually sometimes I did have dreams about putting stuff through the till, which was ideal. But and I was good at it, and to my knowledge, my till never, like the entire 2.5 years that I worked there, and I did probably about 20, it averaged probably about 20 hours a week. My till was never out.
Get you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing the entire time that I worked
there. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I worked for the full first 2 years at Royal Holloway because my third year was in America and I didn't have the right visa to work. And for my final year, I got back from America and was like, I am going to get a first. And I went around every single one of my teachers and I went, I'd like to have a meeting with you to discuss the fact that I am going to get a first and you are going to help me get a first. And here I am with my notebook and pen and you are going to tell me what I need to do to get a first. So tell me exactly everything I need to do. So I didn't work in my final year.
I think maybe it's not that she's a nerd, it's that she's a jobs bust.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So in my first 2 years, my first year I worked at Thorpe Park, and I used to have to get up before it was light, get two buses to Thorpe Park, get on the kiosks at like 8 o'clock, and I would do doubles so I wouldn't leave until about 11 o'clock at
what
night.
Was the job? Was it pressing the button on the roller coaster?
No, it was I was at the booths outside checking people checking people's tickets. And occasionally I once spent 6 hours stood at the turnstiles just going, thanks for coming, get home safe, thanks for coming, get for 6 hours. Oh. Literally. And then I left Thorpe Park because it shut for the season because I think it shuts in like November. And then I got a job. I used to go to Thornton's in Staines and open up, work there from 9 until 5:55, lock up, go around two streets down, to Pizza Hut, and then work at Pizza Hut until Pizza Hut closed. And then I'd go home and work on a website that I was helping do content for as well. And I did that my entire way through my second year.
That's it for our episode about education. If you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter and Instagram at ThePodcast, or you can email us on thepodcastuk@gmail.com. Make sure you send us your professions and problems, because nobody did, and that's why we didn't have any this time, as well as your feedback. Thanks to our lovely editor, Charlotte Nichols, and to Acast, which hosts the podcast. Thanks also to our partner, The Overtake, which you can find at theovertake.com. Finally, thanks to you guys for listening.
Yes, thank you so much.
Cheers, guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
We invite you to that.
Bye.
Bye.